Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the number of coronavirus cases in his state, which had been the epicenter of the outbreak in the past few weeks, might have reached its peak as steps to contain the deadly virus continue. However, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, saying this morning he's taking a wait-and-see approach to such reports.
I don't want to say that they've hit their peak yet, because sometimes places will come down for a little bit and then pop back up again. But I know Washington, California, kudos to the public health professionals out there who have flattened their curve, definitely.
It's election day in Wisconsin, and polling places are going to be open, even though the state's under a stay-at-home order to slow the spread of the virus. The Wisconsin Supreme Court striking down Democratic Governor Tony Evers' order to move the election to June. This is USA Radio News.
I am doing it all. The water, the fiber, the exercise, but I still have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keep coming back. My doctor said that I may have a chronic medical condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C.
Linzess, linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats adults with IBS with constipation. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and learn more at Linzess.com. That's Linzess.com. Or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Democratic Georgia Congressman and civil rights legend John Lewis has announced he's endorsing Joe Biden for the White House. As Lewis said yesterday, it's his belief that the nation needs the former VP, quote, now more than ever before. And he called on young people in particular to, as Lewis put it, help elect a man of conscience. British officials say the UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been receiving oxygen treatment while in the intensive care unit of a hospital suffering from COVID-19. A cabinet minister telling the BBC this morning that Johnson is not on a ventilator and that he's been receiving the very best care. Major League Baseball officials are reportedly looking at starting the 2020 season exclusively in Arizona, playing games at spring training complexes. According to sources, the games would be played in the empty stadiums, no fans, so as to limit the exposure to coronavirus. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
While some U.S. epicenters for the coronavirus outbreak, like New York, are seemingly seeing the curve start to flatten, Task Force Response Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says that the outbreak could still get worse over the next few weeks if people do not continue to practice social distancing.
At the daily White House coronavirus briefing, Dr. Birx continues to reiterate this is a highly transmittable virus, and she says Americans still need to take precautions.
Out of respect for every single healthcare worker, if you can consolidate, if you can send one person, the entire family doesn't need to go out on these occasions. This is a highly transmittable virus.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
A federal judge is letting some abortions resume in the state of Oklahoma. A restraining order is to stay in effect now until at least April 20th, after Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt issued an order last month suspending all elective surgeries in the state because of the coronavirus pandemic, and that executive order covered abortions. A legendary James Bond girl has died, Honor Blackman, best known for her role in the 1964 James Bond film Goldfinger. Her family says she died peacefully of natural causes, surrounded by loved ones, on Monday. Blackman was 94. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612. This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's what we do, and thank you so much for joining in and being a part of the solution to get this country back on track. It is about we the people, which is a clarion call for self-responsibility for each of America's citizens. Good to have you with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're honored to have our next guest, Pastor Paula White, with us. She's the personal minister and spiritual advisor to President Donald J. Trump, author of the book Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, which I'm excited to talk to her about. But before we get into that, Paula White, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's great to be with you today and all your listeners.
Well, I think it's quite interesting that the coronavirus is here upon us. We are in the midst of Holy Week, Passover tomorrow, Easter on Sunday, and we have been getting through this process. What do you sense God is telling us?
You know, Bill, it is an interesting time when we recognize that God, who is sovereign, there's no such thing as coincidence. He's a very certain God in uncertain times, and though we were caught off guard, God certainly has not been. And we do understand when we look at the meaning of Passover, which literally means to protect, and God bringing his people supernatural deliverance and divine protection. As we look at Good Friday and Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday and the culmination of it all, we're reminded of a few things. Number one, it was from the darkest days that brought the greatest light and the greatest hope. There's nothing pretty about the old rugged cross. There's no beauty. It's still the emblem of suffering and shame. Yet, without Good Friday, which I tend to call Great Friday, we would not have a Resurrection Sunday. So our great hope is in the fact that maybe it might be some dark days right now and people are going through unprecedented times, but we know that this is not how it ends. We know that there is the hope of resurrection. And I believe just like there was a dark Saturday and a Friday, and but there was a bright Sunday, a resurrected Savior to bring a people to God, that perhaps during this time of reset, perhaps during this time that happens, which I don't think is by accident to fall during Holy Week, God might be speaking to us and saying, reset, bring me back into the picture. Where am I with everything? And as we do that personally and even nationally and prayerfully globally, and we look and see what God is doing, I believe there's a great call and an awakening and a revival, and perhaps we'll have a resurrected society.
Exactly. I see a time of repentance, which always leads to revival, a time for
Correct.
Us to reconcile our behavior, our perception. As people look up and turn to God, we were just talking about a story of nurses and doctors on top of a hospital rooftop, Paula. They were praying for the patients below suffering from coronavirus. This is happening across the country. People who find themselves at home, as one woman said to me, said, "Oh my God, I found my husband. I thought he was missing. He was sitting there next to me on my couch." So there's some positive things that are happening, you know, with us being with the stay-at-home orders. But as you say, and as Tony Campolo preached so wonderfully, it wasn't him that was preaching. He relayed how a black pastor was preaching in Philadelphia that it was Friday. It was so gloom and doom, and you know, it looked like Satan had his hand and grip on everything of this world. But little did he know that Sunday's coming, right?
Amen. And I think that is our hope. Those of us who walk with God understand that, that during our own personal times of darkness, it is the Bible so clearly says we've been buried with Christ and we are raised with him. And even it goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 6 says that we're now seated in heavenly places with him because of the grace and mercy of God. And so we understand that for every dark day and the dark times, Christ is our hope and there is the beaming of light. And yes, the enemy, what he has meant for bad, Romans 8:28 tells us so clearly that God will turn around for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we see that good. I am seeing the best of humanity come out, not the worst. I'm seeing people who are divided and there was so much strife and division and they're united and working together and have laid all their labels down. And like you said, true repentance. It's interesting. We often quote that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and fill their land. But the verses prior to that, Solomon has just dedicated the temple, and he and God are having this conversation, and God basically says, "Hey, Solomon, when it stops raining, and when there is a plague in the land," and he's telling him that when these things happen, when people go their own way, when they do their own thing, and they forget my blessing and my goodness, it's not that I'm cursing, I just lift my hand, and when that happens, then the enemy has free reign. And he's having this dialogue, and he gives him the very answer that when you then begin to pray and seek me again, I will heal the land. And so we are seeing tremendous healing in the land already, and not just from a physical standpoint, but from a disease that was deepened and maybe invisible too, deep in people's souls and hearts and spirits, and where they're turning to God. Talking to the president the other day, and he said, "How are people, where's their faith with God?" I said, are they falling away or coming close? I said, "Sir, unprecedented. Everyone that we're talking to, all my pastors and friends and my colleagues in ministry and people that I talked to, they said that just unprecedented online viewership and,
exactly.
and salvations and people saying yes to God." And so I think this is a real crisis means opportunity, an opportunity to turn for the better or the worse. And that's God is using it. That's in God's sent, but certainly God used for his glory.
Amen. Pastor Paul, it's interesting you would bring up 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. In my reading this morning in Deuteronomy, as you'll recall, the last admonishment that Moses gave to the children of Israel, you know, direct from God was, I mean, here they are. They're ready to go into the promised land. Here's the milk of, you know, the land of milk and honey that they've been waiting for all these years. And here it is. They're ready to enter in with this new generation. Every one of the previous generation had fallen in the desert. And God says to them, says, look, at, you know, it's going to be good for you, but also I know you. And this is on the heels of all the miracles from Egypt in 40 years. He says, you're going to turn your back on me. You're going to do this. And knowing this, God says, just like in 2 Chronicles, it says, you know what? I'm not going to abandon you. You know, the deal is still on between me and you. I'm still there for you. But it's going to require you to turn from your ways and come back to me.
That's it, Bill. I mean, when you were saying that, I'm thinking, boy, things change, but not much. We are really a stiff-necked people. and can be so stubborn, and we think that we don't make idols, but idols are something that we yield our strength and our energy to, and we can often end up putting so many things before God and not even realizing the disorder in our life and how we say God is first, but we put our time, energy, and strength to almost everything but God.
Exactly.
I think these moments can be good for us.
Without a doubt. We've got to go to break. Pastor Paula, we've got more from her after this. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're having our discussion with Pastor Paula White, and it will continue here in just a second. A real quick reference to her book, Something Greater. Her husband, Jonathan King, keyboardist for Journey and member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, wrote, Something Greater is a heartfelt emotional roller coaster that takes you through a young girl's journey of heartbreak and perseverance. which eventually leads to her steadfast walk in faith, where she finds her true father, even as her husband. I can say it was truly a reed I could not put down. I believe her story serves as an inspiration to the world, how one can overcome tragedy and setbacks in life and turn it around to inspire and minister to others around the globe. Paula, I got to imagine for your husband, Jonathan, thinking that he knew you and to read your book, this had to add a whole nother dimension of his love for you.
You know, he really declares that it did, and he was just reaffirms how proud he was for me for getting that out. He knew how difficult it took me over 3 years to write it. I'd actually been working on it for probably 7+ years, but the actual writing over 3 years, I had a lot to land, I felt. And it's very open, it's very authentic, it's very real. And I was doing an interview with Bill recently, and someone said, Paula, because at the time when it came out, it felt so like wrong timing to me. I was like, really, God? I mean, you look at things, and I could only see the picture at that moment.
Right.
And I thought I had been in vetting for quite a bit. And, you know, it was like the month that after a while I took an official position with President and the White House. And that's the same month that my book came out. And I thought that's really kind of awkward. You know, it just felt like the timing, because it puts some limitations and restrictions. Little did I know that there would be coronavirus around the corner. And I was doing an interview and someone said, Paula, you write on principles. Typically, I always do my books on principles and topics. And this time it was my life story being poured out with those principles of how God brought me through. I'd gone through 39 events, 19 life crises. Yes, it wasn't only my childhood of my father's suicide and the sexual and physical abuse. I get saved when I'm 18, have this life transformation with Jesus Christ, and just dedicate my whole life to him and do nothing but serve him and stay in his presence. And I wish I could tell you it landed like Cinderella, but I would go through some very difficult, life-shattering things. Went through 14 years almost when you complete all the total investigation. Everything you go through, a Senate inquiry, IRS, multiple IRS. We'd come against pornography so hard in the city of Tampa. My ex had a complete breakdown. I believe so much in the institution of marriage. I just thought this too shall pass. And one day, our marriage didn't make it. My daughter had died of cancer. Everything that you just think will never happen to you. And I talk about that, and I don't just talk about it. I show how God pulled me through. Mm-hmm. And what I tell people, that the greatest blessing in my life, though I'd never want to go through some of those things again, that God loved me enough to reduce me to Christ, because I found in him I live, I move, and I have my being. And someone said to me, Paula, little did you know that your personal crisis would be ministering to us through a national crisis. So what I thought was such a wrong timing was actually perfect timing with God to help us all see how we get through this individually and collectively as a nation.
It's as if God had to empty you out, did he not?
Absolutely.
Empty you out totally, because he had a new wineskin for you, so to speak. You know, this
Absolutely.
Is all colloquial terminology for us Christians, ladies and gentlemen. But we talk about the new wineskin. But in that new wineskin, it is that new being. It is that, the Spirit of God in us in such a powerful way. You cannot give what you don't have. And you, like the blind man, I often use this as a reference. It's one of my favorite testimonies in the New Testament. So simple. Because people say, well, how do I testify? You know what? I go, well, talk about, I was, I am, who you were before and who you are now. You don't need to be an apologist, you don't need to be a theologian or anything like that. It's just, where was that crossroads for you, that point in time in life when you went from who I was to who I am? And that is powerful, because that's something that no one can take from you. And your book is so compelling. No wonder your husband, I got to imagine Jonathan looks at you with, because you are such a new person and you're filled up with this new thing that God has poured into you, as they say, for a time such as this, that you cannot give what you don't have. And God has given you so much because through the experiences, in looking back and seeing God with you every step of the way, that has to give you such faith and courage that otherwise you would not have without realizing that.
It's so true, and the Bible says in Revelation, as we know, that we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and also by the word of our testimony, which means the evidence of God in our life. And I love what you just said, I was, I am. I'm going to use that, Bill,
yes.
Because I think in all of our, like you said, Christianese and the way that we sometimes will approach things, God just wants a simple, prayerful, truthful, you know, heartfelt cry.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, people are attracted to the God in us and the transformation he's done in our life. And that is the I think the most powerful message that I've ever had. And I'd love to think it's something I studied 3 weeks for, but it's not. It's something that God has just simply done in my life, and I'm sharing my life story.
Exactly. Well, it's three weeks plus a lifetime, Paula.
There you go.
It keeps on going. I know our audience, because of the relationship that you have with President Donald J. Trump. Give us some insight of who this man is.
I've been privileged to walk with him and his family for almost 19 years now. He called me out of the blue watching Christian television.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Mr. Trump's on the line. I was like, sure, sure. Yeah. Finally got on the line and he said, you're fantastic. You've got the it factor. I said, oh, sir, we call that the anointing. And he just, that was the beginning. So that was how we started. And he went on to verbatim repeat to me three of my sermons of value vision. And I thought to myself, I was actually quite impressed. I thought, boy, he listens better than most people sitting in our congregation. And I mean, it was pretty spot on in three different series. So I thought, interesting. Mm-hmm. Asked if I was ever up in New York. I was doing Bible study for the New York Yankees. And so I swung by one day and met him and some of his staff. And one thing started after another. And he just began to ask me almost casually and innocently to pray for him. Mm-hmm. And, started doing Bible studies, and I found myself, New York was a big hub for me at the time. I had a church up there and was up there quite frequently. And so I found myself sitting in his office often. I thought they're going to kick me out after a few minutes here, and find myself there for hours. And I thought, this is interesting. So again, I got to really know the man, the father.
Did he consider himself a Christian at the time?
He did. He came from a very strong, the first conversation he had with me, he actually shared with me his whole entire life. I mean, things that obviously I never have disclosed publicly or would, but he shared with me from the very beginning his walk of faith and what a strong woman of God. His mother had a tremendous impact and influence on his life.
Mm.
And she was a really godly woman who prayed quite often and made sure they were in not only Sunday school, but Saturday school. And so he had a strong background. And when you understand that, it really influenced. Now, like many people, he got off track, but always to come back to the foundation of his roots.
Well, what a great story and a great encouragement. Paula White, I know that, speaking of which, you're about ready to connect with the White House shortly. Our regards to the president. Ensure him that many around this country are praying for him and our country as we continue to deal with this coronavirus and we become unified behind his efforts and his leadership. Pastor Paula White has been with us. Paula, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. Be glad.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no waste of time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the number of coronavirus cases in his state, which had been the epicenter of the outbreak in the past few weeks, might have reached its peak as steps to contain the deadly virus continue. However, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, saying this morning he's taking a wait-and-see approach to such reports.
I don't want to say that they've hit their peak yet, because sometimes places will come down for a little bit and then pop back up again. But I know Washington, California, kudos to the public health professionals out there who have flattened their curve, definitely.
It's election day in Wisconsin, and polling places are going to be open, even though the state's under a stay-at-home order to slow the spread of the virus. The Wisconsin Supreme Court striking down Democratic Governor Tony Evers' order to move the election to June. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, right here. And for more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, the big question we can ask, one of the big questions is, are you a recycler, or a wish cycler? And we've got a sustainability expert that's going to be joining us to help us tighten up our recycling game, okay? Because the question sometimes is, should I or shouldn't I? You know, if you're asking yourself these questions as you toss something in your recycling bin, you might be what we call an aspirational recycler. This happens when you aren't quite sure if something is recyclable, yet you still place that item in your recycling container, hoping that it'll be recycled or reused. Well, wish cycling is detrimental, believe it or not, because it puts a lot of items in the recycling stream that do not belong there. It can contaminate perfectly good recyclables and damage the equipment in recycling facilities. Aspirational recyclers generally have good intentions. However, knowing the basic rules of recycling can ensure those good intentions don't go to waste. Well, Jeremy Walters is going to be joining us. As I mentioned, he is a sustainability expert and ambassador at Republic Services, an industry leader in U.S. recycling and non-hazardous solid waste disposal. And he's got some recycling habits to share with us. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific, all things considered. Hope you're staying safe out there as we deal with this pandemic across this country of ours. Recycling is something that we can, discuss now that we have a little bit more time in our hands and maybe be really serious and turn the corner on, being an aspirational recycler to an effective, productive recycler.
Yeah, certainly. You know, there's probably a good number of us that are spending a little bit more time at home. Maybe family is with us as well. So I could think of no better time to brush up on some good recycling habits.
Well, what are the signs of an aspirational recycler?
Well, quite simply, if you ever are standing over your recycling bin and questioning if you should or shouldn't throw something in there, chances are you're probably an aspirational recycler. If you have the mentality that if you aren't sure and you throw it in the bin anyways, thinking that we will figure it out at the recycling center, you definitely are an aspirational recycler, and doing so can actually cause more harm than good.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think before we started hearing this, did we realize that we're actually messing the system up and as you say, doing more harm than good? Because even aspirational recyclers have, as we said, good intentions. They want to do the right thing. And we just need to up the game a little bit, because maybe in some cases with aspirational recyclers, maybe 50% of what they do, you know, they get it in the right bin, and I'm just using round figures, and they're very arbitrary. But the other 50, maybe they just don't see the recycling sign correctly, because I know I spend probably more time, because my wife is a devout recycler, and I appreciate that she's the driving force that way. And sometimes I find myself asking, is this recyclable? Because I'm not seeing an obvious recycle symbol on the product.
Yeah, and, you know, it can be even confusing sometimes when you're looking at the recycling symbol. You know, a perfect example is a grocery bag. A grocery bag commonly has that recycle symbol on it, but that is something that certainly shouldn't go in the recycling bin. And sometimes they try to do the right thing, and they'll say in very small words, store drop-off only. But just because there's a recycling symbol on something doesn't mean it actually can go in the curbside bin. So there's some great resources out there. We launched a new website where it teaches you the fundamental recycling stream as well as the tips that go along with it, no matter where you live in the country.
Okay, you mentioned the website. Let's mention it, because we're going to mention it again before we break this off. So where should they go?
You can check out recyclingsimplified.com. And again, it's got tips and tricks, and they're applicable to all ages. If there are educators out there listening, we also have K through 12 recycling curriculum, where they can go and download full lesson plans free of charge.
Well, that's excellent, Jeremy. So for those of us that are still probably dealing with, you know, what should be recycled, what shouldn't, let's talk about some specific do's and don'ts.
So when it comes to the recycling stream itself, keep it simple. Cardboard, paper, metal cans, and plastic bottles and jugs. Those two keywords describing plastic are key. If you're thinking that all plastic goes in the recycling bin, you're that aspirational recycler for sure. So keep it simple. It is also very important that you rinse out recyclables. You know, those metal cans or plastic bottles and jugs designed to hold food or liquid, right? So if you throw a soup can in there with soup still in it and it spills on the cardboard or the paper, we actually have to throw that stuff away. So practice empty, clean, dry. And then also very important is to keep all this stuff loose, throwing these things individually inside your recycling bin, because that's how we sort them at the recycling center, is individually. And if you're bagging it, that plastic bag in itself is problematic once it gets to the recycling center.
Well, that's good to know. So don't pack it. Now, again, help us understand the plastic, the difference between, you know, certain plastics, you know, what plastics make it, what plastics don't.
Yeah, honing in on plastic containers, think of like a rigid plastic container that was designed to hold food or liquid. If you stick to that, you're generally safe, and then you can take it one step further. If you really want to find out what your local program would accept, traditionally plastics labeled number 1 and 2 are widely accepted no matter where you live. Sometimes they might accept a few more numbers of plastic, but generally speaking, it's the 1 and the 2. Now, that characteristic is very important. I keep saying plastic containers because there's lots of types of plastic out there. And, you know, I'm sure someone listening out there has probably ordered from Amazon at some point in time. That box has those padded, flexible, air-filled pillow packs inside.
Right.
Those are not recyclable curbside. Those are something that you could potentially return to a participating retail store. But because they're flexible in nature, think about the idea that when you vacuum at home, how hair wraps around the rollers of a vacuum. Mm-hmm. The same principle applies with these flexible plastics, because we use rollers and disc screens to separate your recyclables at the recycling center.
Wow, well, this is good to know. Now, when you say plastics 1 or 2, is there a number on every plastic container?
Not every plastic container, but just about. You know, commonly, if I were to give you 2 examples, plastic number 1, you would see a water bottle. Number two would be commonly associated with a milk jug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess, in order to up our game a little bit for the aspirational recycler, if we were going to make a mistake, we're better to make a mistake on the side of, maybe putting a recyclable item in the wrong bin as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, we like to say when in doubt, throw it out because, like I said earlier on, if you throw material in the recycling bin, it can potentially do more harm than good if it shouldn't have been there to begin with. But I like to take it one step further and get educated. So when in doubt, get educated.
Exactly. I like that, too. That's why you're here to help us out, Jeremy, helping our game here. Jeremy Walters is with us. He serves as a sustainability ambassador for Republic Services, an industry leader in U.S. recycling and non-hazardous waste. He's helping us up our game and moving us from being a wishful, aspirational recycler to being a certifiable, recycler that we're positively contributing to the whole process, because that really ultimately that's what we want to do. What are some common items that wrongfully end up in the recycling bin, Jeremy?
This is where it can get interesting, and I usually tell folks to use their imagination, but clothes, shoes, toys, electronics, tools, and then what's worse than all those is occasionally we see some baby diapers as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
So no bueno. We don't want those in there. And again, I like your analogy about vacuuming. When you think about the rollers and how those rollers, and we've all experienced it, where they've gotten mucked up because we've tried to vacuum up something that just doesn't fit into the vacuum cleaner. If we think about it in those terms, that's helpful too. I think that's a great word picture that you gave us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jeremy, where can our listeners go for more information on creating better recycling habits? Because we're moving up. We're up in our game. This aspirational recycler stuff, we're going to set that aside, and we're going to be true recyclers now.
I like it. You guys can head over to recyclingsimplified.com. It's a really great resource. It's very easy to use. There's lots of tips, lots of tricks, videos, and then there's stuff for the kids to do as well.
Good ideas. That's great, Jeremy. Jeremy Walters has been with us here. Thank you, as always. Appreciate the time. Take care.
This report is sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo and AstraZeneca. An estimated 155,000 Americans are currently living with metastatic breast cancer, meaning it has spread from its original location to other parts of the body. 1 in 5 breast cancers are HER2 positive. Despite treatment advances, the disease is considered incurable, and patients may eventually progress on treatment. More options have been urgently needed. Now there's a new treatment available. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, recently granted accelerated approval for Enhertu, famtrastuzumab deruxtecan, and XKI, a HER2-directed antibody drug conjugate for the treatment of adult patients with unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer who have received 2 or more prior anti-HER2 regimens in the metastatic setting. Enhertu is approved under accelerated approval based on tumor response rate and duration of response. Continued approval for this indication may be contingent upon verification and description of clinical benefit in a confirmatory trial. This new medicine is in a class of targeted therapies called antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs, that are designed to selectively deliver chemotherapy inside cancer cells. Ion E. Kropp, MD, PhD, Associate Chief of Breast Oncology, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, commented,
"With this approval, we now have a drug available that may benefit patients in whom other drugs had stopped working."
Enhertu can cause serious side effects, including lung problems that may be severe, life-threatening, or that may lead to death, low levels of a type of white blood cell called neutrophils that can lead to serious infections, and heart problems that may affect your heart's ability to pump blood. Enhertu can cause harm to an unborn baby when administered to a pregnant woman. The most common side effects of Enhertu include nausea, feeling tired, vomiting, hair loss, constipation, decreased appetite, low red blood cell counts, low white blood cell counts, diarrhea, cough, and low platelet counts. Visit Enhertu.com for additional important safety information and full prescribing information, including boxed warning and medication guide.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill.
Back with the America 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you fresh and independent every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. With us right now, Todd Robinson, the director and writer for The Last Full Measure, which starts streaming now and will be on Blu-ray DVD at the end of the month via Lionsgate. Todd, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Nice to talk to you, Bill.
Okay, let's talk about The Last Full Measure film. Break it down for our audience.
Well, sure. It's really two stories. First, it's the story of Airman First Class William Pitzenbarger, who was an Air Force pararescueman, who in 1966 volunteered to descend into one of the bloodiest battles of the Vietnam War, saving somewhere around 60 men, but not before giving his own life. And it's also the story of how all the veterans whom he saved 30 years later came together once they had discovered that his Medal of Honor package had been downgraded to the Air Force Cross. And with the help of a young Washington bureaucrat played by Sebastian Stan, they go to war with Congress, as it were, and it's a true story, and they were able to put together the package and get the Medal of Honor for Pitzenbarger.
You know, well, Pitzenbarger, he had a chance to escape on the last helicopter, but it was all about service and the other men. And, you know, and here he is as a pararescueman medic, right?
Yeah. Pararescuemen are considered special operations people. They are a special class of warrior. And he was a special person. You know, he volunteered to go down. He refused to go back up because he understood that there was a need greater than himself, really, at that moment and at that time. There was a lot of suffering going on, and he chose to stay behind. And I can't not find that very poignant at this moment in time as we face COVID-19.
Exactly. Well, you know, the fact that we have heroes like this speaks of the legacy that is within every American, Todd, even though there are people, you know, immensely challenged by COVID-19 that is bringing out, in some cases, the best, and in other cases, maybe not so much the best, right?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of fear, and those kind of things tend to lean into our biases, you know, and regardless of which side of the political spectrum you swing on, I think that these things sort of take advantage of our fear. Mm. And this should be a real time of coming together, and if if there's anything that was ever going to unify us, it seems to me it should be something like this.
Well, and I wondered, frankly, you know, before this, what was it going to take for Americans to realize that beyond the D or the R's or anything else, we are above all Americans? I mean, with all the different cultures, the blend of cultures from all over the world that have come to the shining light on a hill to be free. And I think we've lost sight, you know, through all this fussing that we've gone through. And I wondered, like you, what it was going to take to bring us together. But I'm seeing more and more people, you know, going beyond what kept them siloed and, you know, separated from others. I mean, we were already practicing social distance before, you know, we were supposed to, it seemed like.
Yeah, if you're using that as a metaphor.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I personally find it doesn't really matter who I meet. I can find something to like and admire about most people in a one-on-one situation.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm old enough that I try to see past bias, you know, and try to see what it is that's making an individual lean one way or the other and try to see past it. Because in the end, you know, we all want our families to be healthy. We all want a shot at our dream, whatever that is. We all want good health. We all want food, shelter, you know.
Right.
They're pretty basic things that I think we can agree on. And, I always say this, you know, can we pick five things that we can agree on? Just five.
Right.
The sky is blue. We can start with that.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And it's frustrating. You know, I have kids in the world, and I just wonder what, you know, why we can't just come together around some basic things.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that we're all friends and that we're all part of this great experiment called America.
Yeah, without a doubt. What's the big takeaway for the audience that you want?
Oh, that's easy. That's service greater than self.
Mm, yes.
I think especially in this moment that we're all facing, even though we're sort of cloistered and sheltering, the best thing that we can do when we're afraid, when we're feeling frustrated, is truly to try to do something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can be a very small thing. I text about 10 people a day. I just kind of go through my list of people, and I think, well, who's isolated? Who could use a phone call? Who could use some reassurance? Because I would like to get a call like that once in a while. If you're a young person and it's safe for you to, you know, grab groceries for a neighbor, I mean, any small thing like that will serve you better than it actually serves the person you're trying to help. And it's the secret sauce to curing certain aspects of PTSD. I work with a group called Save a Warrior, which is a 5-day cohort where we deal with veterans with suicidal ideation. And one of the big things that is a takeaway is service greater than self, that in the end, we have to take care of each other and find that cohort and that thing that was experienced in the military brotherhood that is lost when we come home.
Exactly.
And so I think that those things can be applied to regular citizens of our country.
Yeah, without a doubt, you know, hearing you say service greater than self, I just had a conversation with Matthew Barnett, who is one of the founders of the Dream Center, not too far from you. And in the last couple of days during this COVID-19, they've served over 115,000 people. In the last 2 weeks, I should say. So they're just there, you know, helping the homeless population, those that are the less fortunate, the ones that, you know, the mainstream of America, sadly, would reject. It would consider them less than and not worthy. But not Matthew Barnett and his dad and those at the Dream Center doing great work. Dan Crenshaw, the congressman and former SEAL, I just spoke with him, and he echoed back JFK's call that ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for our country. And this is a time such as this where we need to be reminded of those little things and how they can go a long way, because a lot of people are suffering in ways that we can't even imagine.
and the suffering is going to continue. And I have to say to our medical community, our first responders, the people that are on the front lines, the people that are bagging up your groceries,
yes.
I mean, these are heroic people right now, and especially to our medical community, many of whom, I mean, some of whom I know personally, a dear friend of mine is one of the head doctors at Ronald Reagan Emergency Center at UCLA, and he's there every day,
yes.
you know, putting on that PPE and trying to help people. And these people are going to suffer from the trauma of having to watch all of this tragedy unfold
right.
in front of them. And so there's going to be plenty for all of us to do. And it certainly puts in perspective the world that I tend to live in, which is Hollywood and celebrity and all that. It seems rather meaningless in this moment, except to the extent that it can be leveraged to help other people.
Right.
And so, again, it returns to the act of William Pitzenbarger, whose story is significant and the movie is significant because at the end of the movie, you actually can visually see the impact on two or three generations of people that one man had by making a spontaneous decision to help rather than save himself.
Exactly. We're talking with Todd Robinson, director and writer for The Last Full Measure. The name of the film, how'd that come about?
The Last Full Measure is taken from, plagiarized happily, from the Gettysburg Address. Abraham Lincoln wrote those words, and it relates to the last full measure of devotion that was given on the battlefield of Gettysburg by soldiers on both sides fighting for what they believed in, and he saw the greater tragedy, and it seems to apply because war is such a waste of so much talent, human talent, and Abraham Lincoln understood that, and it certainly seemed to apply to this because that is exactly what Pitzenbarger and others on that day during Operation Abilene gave.
Well, the cast that you were able to put together is incredible. And it's just, you know, you just sense the chemistry within this cast. It really, you know, came together. Was this a challenge for you, or when they first heard of the opportunity, they were all in?
Well, it's really far more complicated. This movie took me 20 years to get made.
Wow.
Now I've had almost an entire career in that span of time, but I never gave up on this project. And over the years, in different iterations, I've had many, many great actors attached to it. In this case, it wasn't a problem getting these actors interested. It was difficult coordinating their schedules.
Todd, how can we see the movie as we wrap things up?
Well, you can see it on all the usual, through all the usual suspects, Amazon Prime, iTunes, of course. It will be available on the 21st of April on Blu-ray and DVD, and after that it will eventually stream. So it can pretty much be seen anywhere if you just Google it.
A must-see, powerful story inspired by the courageous acts of Vietnam War hero William Pitzenbarger. Last Full Measure. Todd Robinson has been with us, director and writer for the movie. Todd, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.